Welcome to the Long Come Norwich podcast, a simply spectacularly superlative-laden saunter on St. Patrick's Day. I'm Tom, and I'm joined by John, Edie and Fionn to dissect a wonderful away performance against Forest. Let's start with you, Fionn. It's been a few weeks since we've had you on. Norwich have banged in a few goals and won a few games since then. Something of a Rolls-Royce performance, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but not unexpectedly. I mean, even when you saw Emmy wasn't playing, which was a bit of a surprise, I guess, and they did well to keep it under wraps, that I don't think I was worried because we'd seen enough from Kieran Dowell on Sunday that he seemed like he'd be bang up for it. And yeah, he really showed that in those first 15 minutes and the first half, really. And yeah, just the whole team was just like the absolute metronome, wasn't it? That passing, just the sort of little circles in midfield where it sort of got knocked around and sort of the whole thing moves upfield. And then you have 1, 2, 3 quick passes. The Forest commentators on iFollow were absolutely blown away by it. And kind of I was too at points, even though I've been watching it all season, because I thought that was just the best we've played all season, that first half.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because with regards to watching it all season, I agree that first, I think our friend John Rogers tweeted that was the best opening 9 minutes. It made me think, when was the last time we were 2-0 up and looked this comfortable? And I thought about the playoff final. But actually, we weren't as good as this tonight in terms of like that initial kind of 14, 15 minutes was as if Forest were playing some kind of game where if they had more than one touch as an entire team, they lost a point. You know, it was so dominant. That was kind of Fark ball in its purest form. Edie, who do you pick out as, well, I think we're probably going to name 7 or 8 players, but who do you want to start by picking out for particular praise?
I think, obviously, like, other people have got more glory and beauty to what they did, but Cantwell, Toddy was so, he was, like, just perfection. And I know, like, we've sort of watched him go on a bit of a journey, one that could potentially make an Adam Sandler movie, I think, but he's now got to the end of all of that. And
do you want me to play some montage music under this?
Oh, it is deserved of a montage. It completely is. And he's just grinding away, and the footwork and the focus, and I think it's the focus that's changed, because it's not like he wasn't trying before, but I think people might have perceived kind of before that he was sort of somehow being a little bit kind of stroppy about certain things, because obviously there've been comments and so on and so forth, and it's easy to boo a man who wears a headband, but he's totally now, like, just laser beam. He's clearly picked up some tips from Temu, and he's just absolutely drilled down, and he's giving it his all for everybody. You saw him come off the pitch in the second half, and he just looked done for, like, just spent. He gave it his all. I love that boy.
I would like to introduce John Punt to the podcast by saying I thought Lucas Rupp was spectacular this evening. He's like the little engine that could. And other than a quiet first 15 minutes of the second half, where I think Forrest obviously had a... well, Houghton doesn't really do rockets, does he? If Houghton did a rocket, he'd maybe wrap it in a crocheted sock so it didn't have too much impact. But other than their kind of huffing and puffing at the start of the second half, where I think that he didn't quite adapt his role as well as maybe McLean and Skip did to try and get involved, he was superb. And for me, that's the best Lucas Rupp has been in a Norwich shirt.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was the best... I made some notes as I was watching the game, and I thought it was the best 45 minutes that I've definitely seen him play in a Norwich shirt. He was everywhere. It was ridiculous in the first half. He was popping up in defensive midfield. He was popping up on the left, on the right, and then in the 10. And he just, all of his passing pretty much, you know, kind of hit feet every time. 2 assists to his name as well tonight, which is brilliant for the lad. Nearly got himself a goal. I'm really surprised that Farker persisted with him in the 10. I thought Dowell would slot in there and Rupp might go to the right. But, you know, what do I know? Farker clearly knows his players and knows that Rupp can perform in there. What really impresses me with him is that there's just a little bit more energy than perhaps Vrančić had offered. There's probably a little bit more energy than Marco Stiepermann would have offered in there. You know, Stiepermann offers something really different that no one else can offer. But he doesn't necessarily offer that kind of high octane work rate that Rupp seems to have in his locker, which is absolutely brilliant. Now, I think that was definitely his best 45 in a City shirt.
Yeah, I think the what he seems to have displayed in the last two or three performances, which has won me over and maybe is something that I've not focused on enough in patches previously to give him some of the credit that other people have given him, is that work rate. You can't ever kind of disavow. That's always been there. But I think he's just affected games far more in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think he's the play has gone through him. He's been involved in the play more. And whilst I agree, if Emi was available, I think it may well have been down in a 10. I think he perfectly I think he'd be very, very fair to be disappointed if he was removed from the team for any reason for the next two or three games, especially.
But that raises the question, doesn't it? In terms of, does Emi Buendia come straight back into this Norwich team? And that seems ridiculous to even contemplate. But I don't know, who do you drop out of those three? Because, you know, all of them in the attacking midfield slots played so well that legitimately you could just say that, actually, sorry, I mean, you're going to have a rest against Blackburn and we'll keep you in reserve just in case it's going wrong. So, and Farker doesn't like to change things if we're coming off the back of a win, so it really wouldn't surprise me.
Especially if we're coming off the back of 8 wins. Or nine tonight, is it? That's absolutely mental. So you picked it up, Fionn, earlier. The iFollow commentary was a note that I made. I think I tweeted at some point during the first half that I think this lot actually love Norwich more than Chris Gorham do. I mean, they really were purring. And I listened to the post-final whistle coverage from BBC Radio Nottingham. Not just because they like Norwich, but I did genuinely think that they were a lot better than the standard we've heard most of this season when we haven't had the delights of Chris's voice, because they knew which country the players were from. And yes, they did mix them up every now and again, but they always then corrected themselves. And for you, Fionn, what was the superlative from them that you enjoyed the most? I liked, I'll give you one of the ones that I wrote down, which was that it's not really fair, they shouldn't be in this league. Which I thought was one of their best comments.
Yeah, well, I wasn't making notes, so I don't have any to hand. But yeah, it was obvious they just sort of, as I think throughout the league, are just seeing that we are pretty much a step above when we play like that. And yeah, I mean their game plan was basically blown away in the first 10 minutes, wasn't it? And then they couldn't really do a great deal from there. Graben didn't really get in the game at all, did he? They had lost Joe Lolley at the weekend, who's probably their best player, and he pulled up with a hamstring on the weekend, so that was a bit fortuitous for us that he wasn't playing. But yeah, I think for them, just it was a sort of dividing class, wasn't it? And I think they were pretty fair in their summary. And yeah, they managed to pronounce all the names, which is a better effort than the Coventry ones a few weeks ago. Who
was
just
a better effort than some of the co-coms for Norwich?
True. Yeah. when you notice that they're just avoiding mentioning certain players so they don't have to say their name is not a good sign. But no, good job from Nottingham tonight.
And one of the players they were purring over in the second half was Yiannoulis, Edie. And again, to echo what I said about Rupp, I mean, naturally he's earlier in his Norwich career, but I think that was his best performance. He won a couple of things in the air. He's incredibly fast over that initial 5-10 yards. And he takes you a while after watching a Norwich player. And I think it takes longer when you're watching them on screens, as sadly we are at this season. But his trademark and his kind of special move is that drop of the shoulder and just nudging it past an attacker in order to make a bit of space to play the pass. He does it 3 or 4 times a game, and so far no one seems to have an answer for it. I thought he was really impressive tonight.
It's so weird. It's like he can make time stop.
Yes.
He takes the ball, and then that's it. Everyone just sort of stops and looks around, and then he does something, and then they do a double take. And the regularity with which this happens is almost supernatural. You would have figured they'd twig by now. But obviously, it's going to be a matter of time before someone does. So I'll be very interested to see what happens once that time comes.
Well, you'd think that in the Premier League, the forwards and the wide players in the Premier League are going to be, listen to me talking in assumptive tones, we'll come to that. But I think he's going to realise he's going to have to shift the ball faster. But then, you know, he's played European football, right? So he's going to have come up against pacey wingers. And I thought they showed a bit of talent on the wings for us. They, in the reverse fixture early in the season, I thought wide was where they hurt us and where they did have a little bit more impact. I mean, they were far more in the game earlier in the season. But yeah, so John, Hanley was fantastic. Gibson was fantastic. I mean, Pookie could have had five, couldn't he?
He certainly could have had two or three. I think there was a chance that he perhaps took two or three more touches than he needed to when Dowell teed him up second half. And you just think, just smash that. And actually it's 3-0 and there's nothing to get nervous about. But there probably was nothing to get nervous about anyway. Such was the dominance of our performance. Pookie, I've been thinking this for a few weeks now, that I wonder whether he's better than 18-19 Pookie. And again, that sounds ridiculous because he's won Championship Player of the Year and scored 29 goals. But I think it was NCFC numbers on Twitter had made out that I think his goals per minutes rate is better this season than it was in 18-19. And he just looks a slightly more mature and rounded player to me. And in 18-19, his work rate was phenomenal. And, you know, he would always, I remember the Ipswich game and he kind of popped up at right back and tracked back about 80 yards and won it back and kind of propelled us into attack again. But it just seems his work rate is even stronger this season. And I wonder whether, you know, kind of he had a bit of a, you know, clearly his big toe was an issue and then he never really got back to full fitness in the Premier League. He's back at full pelt now. And this is a man at the absolute peak of his powers. And I think may well go into the Premier League. And if he gets enough game time and he remains fit and do better than last time, because he's had that experience. I mean, he's still, I think he's 31 this month. He might be kind of 31 at the end of this month. So, you know, he's still relatively, you know, kind of a decent age for a striker. So now I think he's just, I really think he might be better than 18-19. And I kind of hear myself say that and think it sounds daft, but it's genuinely not. He's just been great.
Do you think perhaps maybe that he actually is enjoying playing to an empty stadium? Like, he's actually enjoying the just getting on with football. He doesn't seem to be so reliant on kind of supporter energy. And so, like, he's just sort of enjoying the quiet. He can just get on with the business of being the best.
He is probably the player in our squad that I think would be most at home in the library. Like, he's such a lovely man. I think you're right, John, that his all-round game maybe does seem, I think there might be more poise even to him. Like, he scored a lot of his goals were those last minute comeback goals, weren't they? They were kind of nipping in at the back post or just managing to get things over the line. He certainly scored more better goals this season, I think, than last year. Sorry, not two years ago. Interesting what you're saying about him going into the Premier League. I mean, one, surely you're not saying you think that Norwich might get promoted. And two, are you kind of more going towards whether or not we might bring in a striker and team who drops to number two?
I don't see that you can drop him to number two striker. I mean, he's certainly...
Well, not in the first game, you wouldn't, next of course season. Not.
No, but whatever. I mean, it's a bit like Tim Krul when Ralph Fiermann came in and you know, and that just propelled him to even better things. Pookie's proved that he can be prolific in the Premier League, and I genuinely think that actually it was injury and then perhaps a loss of sharpness that caused his downturn in form, and then when he was back to some kind of sharpness, you know, psychologically it was kind of preying on his mind. And I think he'll go into to next season full of confidence. I think that if provided we can keep the kind of attacking midfield three behind him, you know, as fluid and as sharp as they have been in recent games, that he'll get chances. If Emi Buendia is still with us, he'll definitely get a shed load of chances. And you just back him to take them. He's so composed. He's absolutely ice cold. I'm really struggling with this, but he might be approaching my favourite striker as a Norwich City fan, and you know I'm thinking now through the strikers that I've loved through the years, through Robert Fleck, you know, Kevin Drinkle, Mark Robbins, Grant Holt, you know, there's some stellar names there, and yet I don't know, there's just something so likable about that man.
He's so pure.
Yeah.
it's hard not to gush when you come off the back of an incredible away 2-0 performance. But I don't think there are any superlatives that can overdo this Norwich season. We talked on this podcast relatively early doors, you know, before we hit the lead at the top of the table, and you know, I haven't seen NCFC numbers tweet this, but I'm fairly confident that we haven't been at the summit of a league this long for, well, it must be decades, because you know we went to the top way earlier than this in 1819. Sorry, way earlier this season we did in 1819. Again, when we went up with Lambert, you know, from a championship point of view, we didn't go up as champions. You know, likewise under Worthy, we weren't top for ages and ages and ages. So I think, in terms of utter dominance, it's been a greater than we could have expected. Although we were confident of going up, let's just go around then, starting with you, Fionn. To kind of quote Danny Baker, nothing can possibly go wrong now. Is there a nervous, tight, like one of those tiny little metatarsal little bones in your body that in any way you're feeling any kind of panic at this stage?
There was. Between Sunday and today, and now it's gone again.
Really?
And I'm sure it'll build up again. Yeah, because you look at the league table and you look at the fixtures and you just go through these sort of disaster scenarios where you think, well, we could lose three in a row and what? I mean, I'm mostly worried about getting the title at this point. Now I would really like us to win the title, so well, I think it would be a travesty if we did not win the title now. So I would be really gutted if we messed that up. But I mean, I think promotion is done.
We're 12 points ahead of, we're 12 points behind where we were when we finished at the end of 18-19. So
last season's table, West Brom finished and got promoted on 83 and we're now on 82.
Yeah, I fancy us to get at least a draw.
And it's the 17th of March. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's a very different league this season in terms of the sort of competitiveness and the sort of the way it's panned out. But that, I think that's just ridiculous. And yeah, if I think is it now 4 or 5 wins, it makes it absolutely mathematical for promotion. I'm reasonably confident we could do that. Even if Emmy goes on paternity leave now, I think we'll be fine.
Well, I think if you look at Swansea and Brentford, who, you know, really we've got to look down to Barnsley. They're the ones that are most likely to win the last, you know, 9 games. The form they're in after winning again today. But if you look down,
told you they were good, mate.
Yeah, no, I had no qualms about Barnsley being all right. I think they're a lot better than Luton. So 69 and 67 for Swansea and Brentford. The point, even 2 or 3 weeks ago, when Swansea had those games in hand, which could have taken them to within 5 points at the time, I said then a fortnight, 3 weeks ago, that I just can't see us dropping 5 points. So even if they won their 2 games in hand, I don't see where we drop enough points to let anyone catch up. And with regards to automatic, so you know, we currently sit very handsomely 13 points clear of third place. And now, yeah, okay, they've got a game in hand, but Swansea and Brentford don't exactly look like they're going to be taking their games in hand particularly well. So, you know, but based on current projections, it would just be such an unbelievable catastrophic collapse. It's just, you know, it would need to be effectively a all-time low. I think it was Gary on Twitter, Gary Gowles, who tweeted the last 10 years of basically points after 36. And there's only one team in the last 10 years that have had more points than Norwich have got at this stage of the season. And even the teams that have got, who have been top with several less points than us have still gone up first. So, you know, everything is pointing towards this being wrapped up, and maybe even as early as Michael Bailey said, it might be done by Easter weekend. What do you think to that, Edie?
Well, if that's the case, then it's kind of goes completely away from everything I've ever learned to expect from Norwich, like their magical ability to disappoint, and not just to disappoint, but really raise your hopes and then do something so astonishing that you can't believe you've even seen it. But this, I'm scared to say this, but I'm going to say it. Could this be different? This, it felt a little bit like during the kind of the trickier points of this season, as if we were sort of like at a zoo waiting for two pandas to mate. And there was very much tension and kind of, will they, won't they? And now they're just, these pandas are going at it like hammers. You're going to have to separate them with a hose of cold water. So
there's your podcast title, Tom. There you go.
So it's, I'm completely unprepared for what I'm seeing. Like it's these rare beasts are finally like assuming their ultimate form, it looks so, like.
That was beautiful. That's what gets us the Club Podcast of the Year award nomination every year.
Just play Edie's clips.
Exactly.
Fine.
Yeah. They don't ask us to send anything in, but if they change the rules next year and actually we have to apply instead of being nominated, then that's the clip I'm sending. So, so Michael Bailey last time out was saying he thought maybe it could be done as early as Good Friday. So, That basically means we need to win our next three games. And to me, that seems perfectly feasible in that we've got Blackburn going nowhere, Preston going nowhere, Huddersfield going nowhere. So if we were to do that, that would give us 9 points. Those 9 points would basically take us to 91, which as that would stand, Swansea would need to get 22 points. Currently they've got 10 games left. So you're asking a Swansea team to win basically 8 of their last 10 with us still having four or five games in hand if we needed to do something about it. So at the moment, I think Bailey might have a point. I think it might all be done by Easter.
Well,
who are we going to drop points against?
All right, so but it's not necessarily about us dropping points.
No, but it is though. Because the point is, if we win the next four games, effectively, unless Swansea win every game as well, it's four wins. So we could win it Good Friday.
I don't think we're going to be 15 points clear because there'll be, five games to play, maybe four games to play after Good Friday. I don't think we're going to be 15 points clear of third.
But we're 13 points clear of third now. And I don't think Swansea are going to win the next four games.
Beyond the realms of possibility. I don't think we will. It's an interesting conundrum. I don't think we're going to be able to field a particularly good team against Preston unless the EFL step in. Because, I mean, let's face it, this is ridiculous about this international break, that there's going to be players playing in competitive international qualifiers on the Wednesday and then they're expected to turn out for Norwich City on the Friday. I genuinely, that's the only thing that worries me about these upcoming fixtures prior to maybe like the Watford and Bournemouth games is fatigue. You know, three international games, I think most of these players are going to be asked to play, although there is some suggestion that Finland's game on the Wednesday, I think, is a friendly, so yep. Pukki might be able to get out of that, which would be good. Yeah, so that's fine. I mean, you know, him versus the might of Josip Dermić, I guess. Dr. That Mike. You know, maybe he can have a rest. Yeah. So that, I think that's the only thing that could potentially scupper us. But I mean, let's face it, the bottom line is it's done now. You know, there's no way that this goes wrong from here.
Yeah, I don't even think we can. I don't even think the title is in doubt now, because I think it was a point a game before this midweek run of fixtures. It's now, they now need to do better than make up a point a game difference. And if you flip that and put it into kind of the relegation, when you're in the relegation battle, which obviously we know just as well in the Premier League, you start looking at how many games have we got left to make up the points. And once it goes beyond, you know, more points than there are games, that's when you start to really, really struggle to put it together. And we're in a situation now where we can lose five of our remaining nine games and go up as probably champions, which is insane.
Can we start talking 100 points or are we not going there?
I think 100,
6 from 9 is all it means, isn't it?
It's 6 from 9 or 5 and 3 draws. You know, it's which again, you would be really surprised if at this point you'd be really surprised looking at the fixtures. I don't think we're going to lose another game until we're promoted. I just can't see us taking the foot off the gas. And with regards to what you say, I think we might drop points against Preston. That might be a draw. And I give a lot of credit to Alex Neil in that he has had Farker's team's numbers when they've played. You know, he has said before to Paddy, and I know I always bring it up, but he does say that he finds this particular style of football one of the easiest games to prepare for. Now, I think we are playing it and he's getting us at a particularly rich vein of form. Maybe it will be tipped in their favour, the fact that it will be a disrupted team. But also bear in mind that, yes, we might have some players tired, Farke's got a fairly good record coming off an international break when he knows who he's going to know true. Full well what he's going to have to go with. And, you know, Rupp is unlikely to feature for Germany. You know, we've got some pretty good players.
What do you mean?
We've got some pretty good players that, yeah, okay, we might be two or three players out. But Gibson, Hanley, Krull, Yiannoulis, Skip. Oh, no, Skip is going to go to 21s, isn't he?
So Krull will go with Holland. Hanley's been called up for Krull's Scotland. Not, Aaron's in the 21s.
Krull's not going to play, is he? He's not.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's a lot different for a goalie as well. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If anything, it's going to help his sharpness.
Three of our four back line potentially are getting called up. Then plus the goalkeeper. Then Ollie Skip.
Kenny.
Pookie definitely. You know, there's a lot of players travelling. A lot of players that have got the potential to either, you know, contract COVID or pick up a little niggle.
All the more reason to give Pookie, Emmy, a couple of sub appearances if we keep winning so that he's really, really fresh out of the box. Because we only really need Emmy. As long as we've got Emmy, it doesn't really matter who else is playing. Tetti does a heroic performance and Skip comes on from, although to be honest, Skip is going to be furious if he doesn't get an ever-present stat against his name. Same as Max Aarons. God, that's weird, isn't it?
It's really funny listening to commentators say that because you can kind of hear in their voice that, am I really saying Aaron's? Like, have I just remembered to say it properly? Like, they almost don't believe that it's pronounced like that themselves.
Well, I don't. I still don't believe it. So Steve Hodge, the co-coms on iFollow tonight, he flatly gave up second half. He just started calling him Aaron's again. It's just like, I can't be dealing with it. So yeah, let's just take a look then at the upcoming fixtures. We've got Blackburn, who are absolutely full of some ex-Norwich players. I think that's a tricky game in that they score lots of goals, but you know, they're 15th for a reason. They're currently drawing this evening and they're in really indifferent form. I think the fact that we're at home helps us. Can you see any banana skin there, Fionn?
No, I think we're going to win that. I think we're just flying, aren't we? And I don't think Blackburn will have enough to stop that on the evidence of the last 9 games.
Now, what about you, Edie?
I think it's like it's fairly obvious that this will go our way. I was reading that Lewis Travis may or may not make an appearance, and so when you've got that sort of like doubt around that around attendance, I think I would put money on this one. I can't see any losses.
Bradley Johnson is such an ex-Norwich player that even when you look at him on the, even when you Google Blackburn Rovers players, he's pictured in the Blackburn squad in a Norwich shirt. I love that man. Fantastic. And Daniel Ayala, I mean, surely this is his 4,000th club. I mean, he must be about 406 now. Tommy Tribal, I presume, is not allowed to play because of the loan. Is that right?
No, definitely not.
Elliot Bennett.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he playing much for them? I saw him come on the other night.
I think he was long-term injured, wasn't he?
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, big fan of him running down the wing. Cool. Okay. And then looking forward after that, it's, as we said before, you know, you've got the likes of Preston and Huddersfield, and you just want to make sure that we go into that international break at the very least not losing, and then even if we lose the kind of winning run, we know we're going to be at the very worst kind of 8-9 points clear a second, and we know that we're going to be at the very worst, you know, 11 points clear of third. And you just think, well, the guys that are not playing can have a proper rest, and the guys that are doing international duty can feel comfortable if they are eased back into it when they get back.
We asked for questions at halftime tonight, and we got quite a few good ones. Let's start with our friend Paul Bueller, and he asks, why can't Norwich just give someone a proper pasting? The game tonight looked like it should be 7-0 after 20 minutes, but does it matter? Fionn, we were talking about that off air before we started. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like we're ever going to sort of really push for it, and maybe it wasn't the game to do it tonight because we didn't have Emmy, so... you know, I think if he'd been on, that might have happened. But it's just about game management and control, isn't it? We didn't need to expend the energy when we got another game on Saturday and we just played on Sunday. we didn't need to expend all that energy on putting in four or five or whatever. So we didn't, and you know, we still won the game comfortably. I'm not too fussed about it. I like seeing goals, but we're scoring enough goals, and I think if it happens, it happens. But it's not going to ruin my season if we don't win a game 5-0.
I think it's actually a sign of the maturity of this era of Norwich, in that I think we maybe have kicked on and pushed earlier and been pegged back. There is a real intelligence behind almost like a hive mentality. We realised that they were going to come out fast in the second half to this evening, for example. And, you know, it's not like we didn't have our foot on the throttle first half. We could have gone in 3 or 4, and Kenny was ever so unlucky. That was a hell of a save against Kenny McLean. When I first saw it, I thought that McLean had, you know, missed a really easy chance. But then when you see it from the reverse angle, he doesn't actually put it that close to the keeper. The keeper really gets his arm out wide and low. So we could, you know, it could easily have been 3 or 4 at half time. And then second half, yeah, we weathered the storm. And then it got to about 65, 70 minutes. And there was almost like, I mean, you know, obviously the coaches might have been communicating with the players, but there was a very clear kind of click, and all of a sudden, you know, going back to what you said earlier, Edie, Cantwell started, you know, really, really racing around with the ball, and Aaron's makes me feel weird, started pushing forward more and more, and your new list, you know, do you know what I mean? So I think that we're not going to give teams a pasting because we don't need to. So why expend all that energy when we get to 2 and we get a feel, this is probably going to be enough. We can kind of just pick them off.
It makes so much sense when you think about like everything that injury has done to this team in the last 2 years. It makes so much sense to be strategic and focused about this, and not just to like have a giddy time and then feel aches and pains afterwards. I'm really appreciating what they're doing here.
I think that's a really good point. And actually, I was talking to my mate Ollie at work about this today, and he made the really excellent point, I think, that because almost we got our injury crisis out of the way earlier in the season, that actually everyone just seems fresh now. Like, you know, our fitness levels are, you know, kind of in terms of the injuries that we've got in the squad, it's next to nothing. I think it's, you know, it's Sam Byram and that's about it at the moment. And you look around other clubs and actually they're ravaged. Forest had 5 or 6 first team players out. You know, and, you know, it just seems like every team is kind of hitting their injury crisis because they're breaking down and it's becoming too much for them. But we've kind of got that out of our system earlier in the season, and it's been a real advantage that we're now able to just kind of play at the levels and just almost just metronomically just chalk these games off. And, you know, it just seems so easy. And I think just going to your point, Tom, about it's the game management that's so good for Norwich at the moment. You know, we just, as soon as we're a goal or two up, it just doesn't look like anything can go wrong. You know, and I've never really felt like that about any Norwich team. There's always been the potential for things to, you know, span us to be thrown into the works, but it just doesn't happen. And we just feel so assured. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
The lovely referee fancier, Mick Dennis, has just tweeted, when Norwich were tier 2 runners-up under Lambert in 2011, they had 84 points. We're now on 82 with 27 points to play for. This goes to your point, Phil. I mean, I think if we didn't get 100 points, it would be something of a shock.
Well, it would be nice as a nice round number. I mean, going back to the point about controlling games, I think what I've found this season is that I actually, if the choice is a 2-0 clean sheet or a 5-2 or whatever, I think I'm actually getting more satisfaction out of the clean sheets, which I think is probably some kind of delayed trauma from the post-lockdown games in the Premier League, where we were getting absolutely hammered every week, not scoring. I think I literally forgot how to celebrate a goal. We just did not score. I think it wasn't the Man United Cup game was the first time we scored, and that was a long time into the restart. And so it's actually just so nice now to maybe because we're not in the stadiums either, so you're not missing out on goal celebrations in that way. Just so nice to see how we can get 1-0, 2-0 up and then just completely lock the game down, and we don't need to go and rattle in 4 or 5 because it's done and you just know it's done.
Right, let's have another one. This is a bit of a dilemma. Matthew McGregor's been in touch. He asks if Jose says we can't keep Skip next season. Should he be dropped once promotion is assured to give Lungi a spell in the team ahead of next year?
No.
Edie, let's start with you. Well, I'm starting with Edie, Tom.
Well, it's right. I'll be dead quick. Why not? Like, it's the bonding and the kind of getting to know each other. It's the friends we make along the way. Clearly, everyone's sort of scattered to the four corners of the earth during injury season. And then now everyone's learning how to work with each other. Why not just get some nice time in with him if it's, you know, not going to jeopardize any chances of promotion?
Tom, go on.
Well, two things. Firstly, I don't think it would jeopardize anything anyway, because I think every time he comes on, he looks like he had played as many times as Skip in the middle, we may well have the same number of points. I mean, has he had a bad minute? Has he made a single mistake? I think he looks like
he's looked really classy. Whenever he's come on in midfield, he's looked great.
What's he did it today? He did a crunching challenge and then around the world kind of dragged back and played Toddy in. I mean, he looks superb. I mean, I personally think that it's you're talking about being scattered all over the world. That's what's about to happen. And I think that you can have momentum as a football club, but it's a very different season once you get to August and the Premier League, and there'll be different players in and around the squad. Well, I hope there is. We can't limp in like we did last time around. We do have to give it a bit more of a go than we did if we want to make a proper go at it. But we'll cover that in future pods. But also, I think that Skip deserves to play every minute he's available for. As in, I think Skip deserves the opportunity, same as Aaron's. I hate it. They deserve to do 46 games if they've been able to, because there are so few players who get to say I won a trophy in an ever present season. You know, I know it's tier two, and I know he's on loan, but that's a real achievement, and it's not. I don't think it's going to make that much difference. Yeah, you might start taking him off on 60 minutes instead of 80. And yeah, you might play Lungi alongside him, if you see what I mean. And you might spend, you know, you might look at different options like that. But I think he deserves to play as many minutes as possible. Also, I don't think we'll know as early as before the end of the season whether or not it's possible to have him next year. I think it completely depends on how Tottenham's season finishes.
Yeah, I agree. Well, okay, let's move on to a question from Stuart Wardrope. And he asks, as it's St. Patrick's Day today, who's your second favourite Irishman to ever play for Norwich City? Obviously, Wes is the number one. Fionn?
It's going to have to be Paul McVeigh for me, because when I was a kid, he was my favourite player and the only Norwich player I've ever had printed on the back of a shirt. And I was watching the 2001-2002 season review on YouTube the other day when I was procrastinating. And yeah, I was just watching those last few games, and when he scored that goal away at Bradford and the one in the playoff semi against Wolves, and he was just a brilliant player. So yeah, Paul McVeigh for me.
Nice. Edie?
I think, well, it's really tricky once you kind of stop thinking about Houlihan, but like there's a little Cork lad waiting in the wings. Adam Ida. Or is it Ida?
Ida, that's a shout. That's an early shout.
Well, us Mullins, we know our Cork people. I'm keeping an eye. I like a fresh-faced young man, as predatory as that makes me sound. And he's my number two, I think.
Tom?
I used to have a kick around every Monday night with Paul McVeigh. I think that's a really tricky, really tricky one, because we haven't had that many, like not compared to Scotland. Like Norwich have got a great rich tradition of great Scottish players, but just quickly scrolling through now,
have you actually googled this?
Yeah, Johnny Gavin was apparently pretty good.
Lee Power played for Republic of Ireland under 21s, I believe.
Can I put a shout for Phil Moran as well?
Keith O'Neill.
These are all Northern Irish.
Robbie Brady.
These are all Northern Ireland, though. So I guess we're kind of just.
Well, Lee Power and Robbie Brady aren't.
No, I really liked Robbie Brady. I tell you what, I'd definitely go Brady, even though he wasn't with us, you know, a really long time. He is part of one of my favourite ever international tournament memories, which is when he crossed it for Hulan to score for the Republic of Ireland. And it was a goal made in Norwich that which absolutely incredible scenes for the Irishman. I think it was Italy. It was that they scored that really memorable goal against. So I'll go Robbie Brady.
I'm going to have Keith O'Neill purely because he's got one of the best post-football careers in that he's a beef salesman now. So.
Oh.
Which you just wouldn't hear any ex-footballer nowadays becoming a beef salesman. There you go.
I wish they did. Speaking of which, can I just say, is anyone else not as fascinated by like Darren Eady's ultra secret home removal service?
Yes.
Oh yeah. It's for celebrities.
Oh, I would pay so much money to know what that's all about. I mean, fly on the wall documentary, count me in.
Well, as someone who's just moved house, surely you must have made inquiries.
I'm not famous enough. I wish I was though, because you know maybe I'd have some meet and greet opportunities as I shift boxes. But yeah, Citadel, that's what it's called, isn't it? It just looks fascinating.
Well, we'll try and get him on the pod and ask him all about it.
Please,
just
do.
For you, just for you.
I've got so many questions.
Okay, let's have another question. Anyway, this is from Highbury Canaries, and he's asked, if you could play one pre-match City song on the decks at the Highbury Pie Shop before next season away to Arsenal, what would you choose? Edie, let's start with you on this one.
Right, okay. I'm going to go straight in. I am habitually an aggressive DJ, and I like antagonising people with my song choices. I once cleared a room with Sexy Boy by Shawn Michaels.
I thought you were going to go for the Air version there. Not
no,
Shawn Michaels.
Okay. Shawn Michaels. I would go for a 14-minute Doob solo.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Go on, Dion.
Fionn, follow that.
What was the question? What song would we play?
Essentially, it's your favourite ever Norwich City song been released on record.
Norwich City song, okay. Love on the Terraces by Serious Drinking, which is an actual song about going to Carrow Road. So it's got to be that, yeah, and well worth the listen.
Thomas, what are you having?
I can never remember the name of the actual song, but the Farkas on a Horse song. Oh. Whenever that comes on
Waterfall.
Is that it's Stone Waterfall? Roses. Yeah, I know Stone Roses. Yeah, but whilst I'm a fan of 90s guitar music, although is that the very late 80s? But anyway, that era of guitar music.
No, that's 90s.
Yeah, they really do all sound the same to me, Stone Roses. But that.
Whoa.
Whenever I hear that come on like a 90s playlist or Absolute Radio or whatever, I sing that. And I actually think that is my favourite Norwich City chant away from home. That 18-19 season, I was very fortunate to go to a few away games. Unfortunately, Lorne was at some of them. And belting out Farkas on a Horse, it's such a silly song. But the love with which we sang it, I think that's my favourite Norwich song on the Terraces away. So I prefer On the Ball at City at home.
So you're playing that?
I'm playing the Stone Roses
you're
version.
You're going to reboot it?
No, no.
Are you rebooting it for 21-22? Because you need new players in the middle now, don't you?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. We haven't obviously we haven't been able to belt it out since those players changed. So we do need to come to some, I mean, obviously, you know, you and Lorne are the fan police, so we do need to come to some, maybe we need to join together all the fan channels and all the podcasts. We need to get together at a summit that we have every season, every summer. We'll get together and we need to agree what are the words to that song going to be, because it's going to be awkward. We're all going to be a little bit out of kilter when it comes to the start of August, and we're going to belt into it. Farkas on a Horse, we're going to support. We've got, everyone will be looking at each other like, who do we say? Who do we say? And
what do we say now?
And then we all
Jordan Rhodes.
Then it gets loud again at the end. We go, Team Pookie, can't stop scoring goals. And like, yeah, we know that bit. We're happy with that. Anyway, so I'll go with that.
Okie doke. Thank you. Right, we've got one last question, and this is definitely the winner of Question of the Week. This is from Matthew Craven, who asks, is this all a dream? And if so, what's really happening?
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
Yeah.
Is it all a dream?
And if so,
it's
what's actually happening?
It's felt like a very unreal season, hasn't it? So I think we're all in some kind of like Truman Show thing, where we all think it's normal, but actually we're all being watched by some kind of like it's somewhere linked to iFollow. I think people are paying 10 quid to watch us all watching this mad season where Norwich are keeping clean sheets and they're going to get 100 points. So yeah, that's my scenario. So
they've got their money's worth this evening. There's an absolutely thrilling game of top trumps going on in the first half between me and my son Ruben. It went right down to the last card. It was very exciting.
What kind of top trumps were you playing?
We were playing tractors top trumps. We've got tractors. Classic. We've got Marvel. Nice. We've got dinosaurs from the National History Museum. Very, very good, those top trumps. Set is well into the top trumps, is Ruben. But yeah, so it was tractors tonight, and I lost on the last card. I cheated because I like him to win just before going to bed.
Hang on, so you cheated to lose?
Yeah, because I like him to win just before
he goes to bed. You're not teaching your child anything like that, mate. Come on.
He's a Norwich fan. He's going to learn about losing pretty soon. Like this is the first season that he can name lots of the players. And I have not actually said to him, it's not normally like this, Roo. Like it's like this every time we're in this league. But every night, but next season, oh dear.
Do you want me to lend him my dad's VHS of Norwich City own goals?
Yes, please.
Hang on, is this a self-made VHS?
Yeah. He had it on the go for years and years. He's still got it, and he'd
come amazing. Home.
He'd
You've come... got to get him to. Can you upload this to YouTube, please?
Rewind Norwich City to get it. Yeah. Did you? Is that part of a box set we can borrow with the pandas going at it like hammers box set that you've got?
Sadly, that has never ever happened in real life. So. We could animate it, I suppose, or deep fake. There's always a deep fake nowadays.
Anyway, Edie, what is this a dream, or and if it is, what's actually happening out there? Because Fionn's suggestion that we're all being watched surreptitiously through iFollow is even more bizarre than the kind of weird laws that are being passed in this country now.
I think what's happening here isn't a dream. We are basically like those kids on Super Nanny that think everything's brilliant because we're doing finger paintings on the wall and choosing our own bedtimes. But actually, we've had a bit of discipline, just sort of eased in some strategic thinking, some overarching kind of strategy. And like now, we've gone to bed like at a decent time for a week. We're like, oh, I'm not grumpy anymore. It's that thing of just not realizing what you need. And as much as we love embracing chaos, it feels really good to have a bit of kind of order going on, I think. It feels weird.
Love that.
So weird.
Love that.
That's definitely question of the week.
That's the winner. Matthew, DM us and we'll send you some stuff.
We will be back very soon to talk Norwich City and panda shagging and whatever really comes up based on our guests' whims. Thank you so much for your input, Edie. Thank you so much for your time, Fionn. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on. Punt, I acknowledge you exist. Everyone, enjoy the game. Enjoy the fact that we're very, very close now to sealing what could be quite a comfortable promotion. Fingers crossed, don't fuck it up, Norwich. Mind how you go.